John chapter 9. As Jesus was walking, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. You need to underline that part because we're going to juxtapose two biblical narratives. Verse 6, he spit on the ground, which is messy. This is Jesus now. He made mud with the saliva, which is more messy, and he spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He spread the mess. Jesus spread the mess. Doesn't that mess up your theology? Verse 7, he told them, go wash yourself. The man went, washed, and came back seeing. Mark chapter 8. They arrived at Bethsaida, verse 22. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus. Blind man again. They begged him to touch him, the man, and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes. There's that common denominator. May have been allergy season, but he spit on the man's eyes. He laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around and said, yes. Well, I see people, but I can't see them clearly. They look like trees. And Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. I want to speak to you on the subject matter. Don't settle for trees. Don't settle for trees. It may be your mess, but it's God's miracle. So before you're seated, high five three people, tell them, don't settle for trees. Your mess, God's miracle. Don't settle for trees. Your mess, God's miracle. You may be seated. If you're taking any notes, any good luck with that. Numero uno. Number one, here we go. Don't settle for the old. Open your eyes to what you have never seen before. So we're juxtaposing two biblical narratives of a common thread here, and we're going to get to it. But as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth, John chapter 9, verse 1. This man in John chapter 9, we're going to put John chapter 9 right next to Mark chapter 8, and we have him here, right? So John 9, Mark 8, beautiful. Union workers, here we go. This man in John chapter 9, verse 1, was not losing his sight. He did not lose his sight. He never had it in the first place. He was born blind. This circumstance facilitates the environment for Christ to reveal a functional ontological extension of the creative nature of providence. In other words, with the woman that had the issue of blood, he gave her back her health. With the invalid man at Bethesda, Jesus gave him back his walk. With Lazarus, he gave him back his life. But with this man in John chapter 9, Jesus did not give him something he lost. Jesus gave him something he never had in the first place. There is a difference between God restoring something you had and God giving you something you never had in the first place. Planet Shakers, our God is not just the God that restores. Our God is the God that gives you what you never had before. I'm about to do something new. I'm about to do a new thing. I'm about to do a new thing. Australia, get ready. We are about to see the glory of Jesus like we've never seen before. I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway. Isaiah 43:19. So I need you to get ready. God's about to do something new in you, with you, for you, and through you, all for the glory of his name. Some of us allocate, focus our time in attempting to get back what we lost when we should be asking God to give us what we never had in the first place. In other words, God is not interested in renovating your past. He is committed to releasing your future. Hence the question we have to ask ourselves in our families, in our faith, in our generation, in our nations, in our continents. Are we ready to see what we have never seen before? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we can't deny that in the past 4 years around the world, we have seen, arguably in our generation, what we have never seen before. We saw the effects of a global pandemic. We saw the ruins of social and racial unrest, destroying properties, families, dividing communities, and fragmenting the church. We witness and continue to bear witness to a culture that insists in silencing everyone and everything, that refuses to toe the line of a morally relativistic ideological worldview that runs counter to the Word and the Spirit of God. We saw and continue to see a generation targeted by the spiritual architects of darkness with the message that there is no such thing as truth, holiness, God-defined identity, righteous sexuality, and personal responsibility. We did it last year, and I'm going to do it again. There's a church rising up with the authority, not with kumbaya, not with complacency, with the authority to tell the devil, get your hands off our children, get your hands off our children's children. And by the way, for the record, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Generation Z will not go to hell. Generation Z will be saved. We saw the mess. We see the mess. If you go on Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, and even speak to ChatGPT, you will see the mess. But what if I tell you that in our families, in our faith, in our generations, even in our nations, in our continents, we are about to see, by the grace of God, the messes become miracles. Just like the blind man in John chapter 9, just like he saw what he never saw before, we need to get ready to see what we have never seen before. In every nation, in every generation, in all aspects of your life, in the lives of your children and your children's children, get ready to see the glory of God like never before. The mess is about to become a miracle. John 11:40, didn't I tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. God is up to something since last year. Since last year, God is up to something. I mean, he really is. We left this conference last year. Let me contextualize it in my American experience. Some of you are privy to the fact, right after this conference, we went back home, and in America, an American football player dies live on national television. We've never seen that before. An NFL football player, Damar Hamlin, dies on national television. He's dead. I mean, it's Monday Night Football, big day, millions watching, and this young man dies. Both teams gather. They start praying, and the young man that was dead came back to life. Don't tell me God is done raising the dead. Don't dare tell me that miracles are done and over. We serve the God that has the power to save, the power to deliver, the power to heal.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
Because the very next day on ESPN, please do your Google due diligence or YouTube due diligence. The very next day on ESPN, you can watch this. Go ahead, YouTube it. Here's the reporter, the host. And he's talking about what happened. He goes, I want to talk about what happened yesterday. Yesterday, this Damar Hamlin died on national television. He died. And then people started praying on the field and around the country for him. And he came back to life. This is ESPN. And then over here, this lady comes out and says, well, yeah, now we have some issues here because we have an issue of protocol. We already have a concussion protocol in the NFL. We should look at hits above the sternum or right in the sternum. This should be prohibited. There's a question. And then the guy over here comes back and says, yeah, I get that part. That's not the point. Here's the point. He died. People prayed. He came back to life. Another guy over here says, there are some playoff implications now, whether or not they should cancel the next week's game, whether or not they're just, and the guy goes, yeah, I get that part, but that's not the point. Here's the point. He died, certifiably dead. People prayed, and the guy who was dead came back to life. And then he looks at the camera, Google this, please. He looks at the camera and says, I think we should pray right now. This is ESPN. And all of a sudden they go, let's pray. And in the middle of his prayer, usually they would pray to commercials, but they didn't for whatever reason. They just stood stuck on him. And all of a sudden in the middle of his prayer, he says, because we serve the God that has the power to heal. We serve the God. Are you ready to see the glory of God show up like we have never, ever, ever, ever seen before? It's what a coincidence. Immediately after that, right after that, in a city in America called Asbury, Kentucky, a bunch of young people in this university can't stop praying, worshiping, lifting up Jesus. And they tried and it failed miserably. And they continue to pray, worship, lift up Jesus. And again, and then God shows up in Kentucky. And God, people start flying in from all over the world to Kentucky. Because the Spirit of God is moving in a generation that has been deemed as the most non-Christian generation. Somehow God didn't get the memo. And God says, really, the same group of people who you are identifying as the generation that will never serve me, that's the generation that will carry my glory. That's the generation that will... That's the generation that's about to shake the nations. The reason why the devil hates your guts, it's because you are about to unleash the greatest move of God in human history. If you believe it, shout like you know that God's about. Immediately after that, my friend Greg Laurie, who's a pastor in SoCal, he comes out of a movie called The Jesus Revolution. It was supposed to have made $7 million in box office receipts and over $50 million later. And even recently, he baptized over 4,000 new converts at Pirates Cove in OC, California. People giving their lives to Christ. This something is happening. Immediately after that, I mean, things are happening. Immediately after that, we gathered in Amsterdam. And over and close to 7,000 leaders came to an agreement that by 2033, the gospel of Jesus will reach every single human being on this planet. So help us, mighty God. I'm going to say that one more time. Y'all, we need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid that the devil is in charge, that hell will win. We are about to see more people come to Jesus as Lord and Savior than ever before in human history. In the Latino world, even there's an artist that y'all may never heard of. And no, he doesn't play for the Yankees, but his name is Daddy Yankee. And this guy, who is like, you know, one of the most recognized, just recently in the middle of a concert, comes out and says, like, oh, boom, I'm here to announce I had an encounter with Jesus that changed my life. I am a born-again Christian, and I will follow him. There's even the neurobiology chair of Stanford University. So there is no split here. Every single class, every single intellectual level, every single level and dimension of cognitive bandwidth. He comes around, Andrew Huberman, he comes around and he says, this past year says, this is the head of neurobiology at Stanford, one of the most brilliant people on the planet. This past year, he goes on his podcast to announce that this year, he had an encounter, an undeniable encounter with Jesus that changed his life, and now he is a follower of Jesus. I need you to get ready to see athletes. I need you to get ready to see entertainers. I need you to get ready to see influencers. I need you to get ready to see politicians. But more importantly, I need you to get ready to see your entire family recognize that Jesus is Lord. Lift up your hands. Repeat after me. In Jesus' name, Australia's mess is about to become God's miracle. New Zealand's mess is about to become God's miracle. Asia's mess is about to become God's miracle. Africa's mess. America's mess. Latin America's mess. My generational mess. My family mess is about to become God's miracle. If you believe what you just said, shout like you believe it, praise like you believe it. First Thessalonians 5:24, he who called you is faithful to do it. First Corinthians 2:9, what no eye hath seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagines what God has prepared for those who love him. It's gonna happen, folks. We are about to see the messes become miracles. And when the mess becomes a miracle, we step into a season of instead of. Instead of. We're going to see it. Is that wishful thinking? No, I'm telling you, God is up to something. God is, why do you think the enemy is so angry? Why do you think he's so stirred up? We're about to see the glory of Christ. Instead of riots, we're going to see revival. Instead of lockdowns, open heavens. Instead of hatred, love. Instead of relativism, truth, I'm prophesying now. Instead of confrontations, conversations. Instead of political affiliation, prophetic designation. And instead of storming capitals, we're about to storm the gates of hell and take back everything that belongs to us. All right, one more time. I'm not going to do this again. Raise your hand, repeat after me. I'm about to see what I've never seen before. In my family, in my faith, in my relationships, in my church, in my community, in my thinking, in my actions, in my words, in my health, in my surroundings, in my nation, in my generation, I'm about to see the glory of Jesus like never before. Praise like you believe it. Somebody shout like you believe it. Somebody worship like you believe it. Prophesy like you believe it. Rejoice like you believe it. Think like you believe it. Act like you believe it. Give like you believe it. Forgive like you believe it. Are there any questions? Don't settle for excuses. Open your eyes to God's Spirit. So let's do it. So come here, gentlemen. He spit on the ground, made mud of saliva. John 9 yet. He spit on the ground, made mud of the saliva. So let's just begin with John 9. Take some of that. Last year you were Dagon, now you're Jesus. What a massive conversion experience. Indeed. No, Fabio, that you don't have yet. Yes. So let's put some on. Go ahead. Let's put John chapter 9, and let's do this. All right. Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Spread it. This actually happened. So he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva and spread the mud. Here it is. The God of the process is the same God of the outcome. The God of the wait is the same God of the settling. The process is temporary, but the promise is permanent. And do not make the temporary permanent. Do not confuse what you're going through with where you're going to. And if you are going through what you've never been through before, stop whining. It only means you're about to occupy what you've never occupied before. First, this is a crazy thing because he did this to this guy in reality, he spit, right? In John chapter 9, he spit, and that's his holy spittle, holy hygiene, Batman. You spit. And he takes the spit. And this is the spit of Jesus. So what, you know, what's in your spit? What's in your spit?
What's in your wallet?
What's in your spit?
Virus. All the pessimists, germs, bacteria. And all the optimists would say DNA.
And that's it. That's the entire message. Literally speaking, not like this is a rhema word. No, this is science 101. Jesus took his DNA and he placed it on the eyes of a man who was born blind. He literally transferred his DNA. He took his DNA and it's real simple. In other words, with your DNA, you can't see anything. With my DNA, you're about to see my glory. With your DNA, you're a victim. With my DNA, you'll be more than a conqueror. With your DNA, you have trauma. With my DNA, you will have a testimony. With your DNA, you are limited. With my DNA, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. With your DNA, you're going to make excuses. With my DNA, you're about to make history. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, yeah. Listen carefully, planet shakers. Jesus died, resurrected, ascended, not just for us to receive his spittle, but more importantly, for us to receive his spirit. So we're not filled with a spittle of opinions, social constructs, or ideologies. We are filled with the spirit of Christ. Romans 8:11, the same identical spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, which means what? If with the spittle of Jesus, this man saw what he never saw before, what are we about to see with the spirit of Christ inside of us? Holy Spirit, people see what others cannot see. I'm going to repeat that one more time for the hearing impaired. People filled with the Spirit of God see what others cannot see. If you have that Spirit, you have power. If you have that Spirit, you are free. If you have that Spirit, you are anointed. If you have that Spirit, you live a holy life. If you have that Spirit, you have victory. And if you have that Spirit, you can say with unbridled certainty, in the presence of every devil, demon, legion, principality and power of darkness, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the Holy Spirit. But I want to land this, Jesus, to this guy, before you put the mud, you spit in the mud. Hold on a second. To this guy, Mark 8, you didn't. To this guy, Jesus just went, pah. To this guy, Jesus went, psh. So why would Jesus spit on the ground, combine his spittle with dirt for the guy who was born blind, but not for the, because this guy wasn't born blind. And that's the story. This guy had vision at one time and he lost it. Hence the word restore in Mark chapter 8. Matter of fact, this guy sounds like Jesus does this whole thing, psh, papoo, and he goes, can you see? Can you see? Why would Jesus ask? Like he didn't know? And this guy says, yeah, you know, I can see, but it's not clear. I see people, but they look like trees, which means he already had framework regarding people and trees. This guy never saw anything. So what did Jesus do for this guy? He spits on the ground first. What did God make man out of? What did God make man out of? Genesis 2:7. Dirt. In other words, Jesus took his DNA. He went to the original blueprint. He went to the original plan. In other words, in my original plan, I'm here to tell you, planet shakers, in God's original plan, your children are not addicts. In God's original plan, your family doesn't have a multi-generational propensity for diabetes and alcoholism. In God's original plan, there is no addiction or multi-generational curse. I'm here to tell you to get ready. Jesus died, resurrected, sent his Holy Spirit to activate his original plan for you and your family. If you're ready to see it, shout like you're ready to see it. If you want God's original plan for your life fully active, raise one hand. If you want to see it fully activated upon you and your family, lift up both hands. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Jeremiah 1:5. What's God's plan? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not to harm you, to give you future and a hope. And you were born again according to the motto of the second Adam, not the first. 1 Corinthians 15:45. If you believe God has a plan for your life, lift them up really high. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your children. He has a plan for your children's children. He has a plan for your now. He has a plan for your next. He has a plan for your city.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.